Hello, my name is Mylene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, interviews, and events about the vegan lifestyle, manifesting a reality of health and wellness and peace and egalitarianism and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, President of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, an adjunct professor at the George Washington University School of Medicine, and a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. In 2016, Dr. Barnard founded Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C., to create a new model that integrates nutrition into conventional medical care. His federally funded diabetes research revolutionized the nutritional approaches to type 2 diabetes. He has written 20 books on nutrition and health. Dr. Barnard has led numerous research studies investigating the effects of diet on diabetes, body weight, hormonal symptoms, and chronic pain, including a groundbreaking study of dietary interventions in type 2 diabetes funded by the National Institute of Health that paved the way for viewing type 2 diabetes as a potentially reversible condition for many patients. Dr. Barnard has authored more than 100 scientific publications and 20 books for medical and lay readers, and is the editor-in-chief of the Nutrition Guide for Clinicians, a textbook made available to all U.S. medical students. As president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Dr. Barnard leads programs advocating for preventive medicine, good nutrition, and higher ethical standards in research. His research contributed to the acceptance of plant-based diets in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. In 2015, he was named a Fellow of the American College of Cardiology. In 2016, he founded the Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C., as a model for making nutrition a routine part of all medical care. Originally from Fargo, North Dakota, Dr. Barnard received his M.D. degree at the George Washington University School of Medicine and completed his residency at the same institution. He practiced at St. Vincent's Hospital in New York before returning to Washington to found the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Barnard.
Hi, Dr. Barnard. This is Molly Narrow from Vegan Nation. I'm looking forward to this interview, and thank you for all your wonderful work throughout all the decades.
Well, thank you, and right back at you. I appreciate your getting the word out.
And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Neil Barnard. Dr. Neil Barnard is president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine in Washington, D.C. His new book is Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. Dr. Barnard's research paved the way for viewing type 2 diabetes as a potentially reversible condition for many people. In his latest study, his research team found a way to knock out menopausal hot flashes for many women using just a simple diet change. Thanks again, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, before we get to how foods might tackle menopause, could you tell us what are the main problems that come up at menopause and how common are they?
I think at the top of the list are the hot flashes that will come both during the day, where they can just leave you soaked with sweat right when you're in the middle of a meeting trying to make a presentation or something like that. And they can also occur at night, waking a woman up 2, 3, 4, or 5 times a night. And if it's like that, then it's just destroying how you feel during the day and ruining quality of life. What makes it all a bit worse, though, is that when doctors prescribe medicines for it, the hormonal medicines that are used have lots of risky side effects, breast cancer, heart disease, and dementia. So women are left without really good answers. We had thought maybe a couple of decades ago that the hormones that would be used for hot flashes were actually beneficial. That was the way they were portrayed. The idea was they would reduce the risk of heart disease and reduce dementia, but careful studies have shown that they do exactly the opposite. They increase the risk of health problems. And of course, for people who have a heart for animals, one of these hormone products has become quite notorious, and that's Premarin, which comes from pregnant mares. That's where the name comes from, pregnant mares' urine. The mares are impregnated, and when they're pregnant, they make a lot of estrogen that gets in the urine, which is collected and sold. But the animals are not having a good time, and of course, after their pregnancy, they give birth, and the foals have an unenviable fate as well. So women are looking for much better solutions.
Yes, I know a couple of people who have adopted the animals from that industry, and some of them are foals, some of them are the mares. So I'm really happy that you are highlighting and showing the world a nutritional approach. Thank you very much. And how did you get the idea that foods might help cure menopausal problems?
Around the world, in Japan, back in the 1980s, there was not even a word for hot flashes. Women just rarely had them. Less than 15% of women had them, and when they did, they were quite mild. But then the diet changed. Instead of it being the traditional rice-based diet, rice, tofu, vegetables, not very much meat, starting, maybe the 80s, 90s, and beyond, meat, burgers, chicken came in in a big way. Fish increased, and dairy products came in a big way. And women started having more and more menopausal problems. Breast cancer rates doubled. Diabetes and heart disease came in. So the change in menopausal symptoms that occurred after the change in diet was a hint to us that going to a more plant-based diet was going to be helpful, and ideally a completely vegan diet. But the other piece of it was that in Japan, people traditionally ate soybeans, tofu, soy milk, and so soybeans have some magical isoflavones in them. These are compounds that became famous because they reduce breast cancer risk quite substantially, which is why people who eat a lot of soy have about 30% less risk of breast cancer, which is good. But these isoflavones also seem to act like sort of a natural medicine against hot flashes. So we decided to put to the test the combination, plant-based diet, vegan diet that is, and daily soybeans.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. That's great to hear about the diet approach and, of course, about soybeans, because there's so many myths that are unfortunate that being circulated about soybeans. So I'm glad to hear that soybeans are healthy.
Well, they are. And I think the bad reputation kind of came from what I observed as a kid growing up. In North Dakota, which is where I grew up, if you drive down the highway, all along the side of the road, you see soy plants, you know, as far as the eye can see. And they're beautiful. They're all identical. They're genetically modified. And that's not for human consumption. That's cattle feed and hog feed and chicken feed. And so those are all the GMO organisms. But what I'm talking about are the kinds of soybean products that you would buy in the store, whether it's whole soybeans or edamame or tofu or soy milk or soy yogurt or soy ice cream. You can get organic products, and by law, they cannot be GMO. And research studies have clearly shown that women consuming the most soy not only have less risk of developing breast cancer, but for a woman who had cancer in the past, soy products increase her risk of survival, increase the likelihood of survival, I should say, reduce the risk of dying of the condition. So soy is optional, but it's a good thing.
Wonderful. On the diet approach for foods that might help cure menopausal problems, could you please give us some examples of healthy meals?
Yes. What we encouraged women to do was have it be totally vegan, but we went one step further, and that's that we kept oils really, really low. So if you're looking for the low-oil foods, if you're going through the produce department, you don't have to really check the oil content of an apple or a peach or some bananas or some broccoli. All those things are naturally low in fat and very healthy. But let's say you're getting a vegan pizza. That's perfectly fine, but check the fat content. And if it's more than about 3 grams per serving, which most of them are, I would suggest that people look for something lower in fat. The combination of a plant-based diet, completely vegan diet, and keeping the oil content low seems to be particularly helpful for any kind of hormonal condition. And by the way, let me say a word to women who might not be dealing with menopausal issues, but they've got, say, pretty bad cramps every month, or endometriosis or PCOS. Try doing a completely vegan diet, at the same time, keep the oils really, really low. So for now, skip the guacamole, skip the peanut butter and the nuts. We're going to have it be lots of vegetables and fruits and whole grains and beans. And spaghetti is fine, you know, but top it with a marinara sauce, a light tomato sauce. Have it be the bean burrito, or if you go to a sushi bar, cucumber rolls, asparagus rolls, sweet potato rolls, all fine, but skip the grease. And what you'll find is that you feel dramatically better in so many cases.
We're listening to Dr. Neil Barnard, president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine in Washington, D.C., and we're discussing his new book, Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. Dr. Barnard's research paved the way for viewing type 2 diabetes as a potentially reversible condition for many people. In his latest study, his research team found a way to knock out menopausal hot flashes for many women using just a simple diet change. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard.
Hola, good people. This is Roger Klein from the Peacemakers. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
Tune in every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 12 midnight until 3 a.m. It's the Love Session on 91.3 WCUW Worcester with DJ Chuck Chillin. Tell a phone, tell a friend, tell your fam. You might even want to tell your mama and them.
Vegan Nation airs every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on WCUW 91.3 FM. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Vegan music, interviews, events, and news, local, national, and international. Listen online at WCUW.org. Much thanks for tuning in. Welcome back from the break, and thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts, and we are joined by Dr. Neil Barnard via Skype in Washington, D.C. Thanks again, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm really happy and excited to hear about your new book, Your Body in Balance, The New Science of Food, Hormones, and Health. And now I'd also like to talk about that you have also found that a diet change is highly effective for diabetes. Do you think it is possible for people with diabetes to reduce their reliance on medications?
Yes. Not only is it possible, it happens most of the time when people do this kind of diet. And that's really important to emphasize, because people with diabetes have heard something that's really not true, and that is they're stuck with it. Once you have diabetes, you'll always have diabetes. That's what they're told. And doctors say that for good reason. They want them to take the condition seriously. But when people do a stronger diet than the carb counting diet or the low carb diet that they were on before, when they go to a vegan diet, keep the fat low, what they find is that they need less medicine in most cases. And in many cases, they get off it completely, and sometimes the disease just goes away. So give it a try. I encourage people to really do it 100%. Get the animals off your plate, keep the oils really low, but it'll work for you. And Your Body in Balance, by the way, has lots of recipes. For anybody who's thinking, what am I going to eat? Lindsay Nixon, who is a wonderful vegan chef and recipe creator, has developed all kinds of wonderful recipes that are all included in the book.
Thank you. When women reach menopause, many are concerned about other health issues like weight gain, heart problems, or breast cancer. How do your diet recommendations address these issues?
Yeah, they do. And in fact, they do it directly. I might mention that in the study that we just published, which was focusing entirely on hot flashes, it wasn't looking at these other conditions. And the moderate to severe hot flashes dropped by 84%, which was really impressive. I mean, the women felt so much better. However, what they also appreciated was that when they got on the scale in the morning, the average woman lost 8 pounds in just 12 weeks. Now, some were already thin and didn't need to lose more weight, and they didn't lose more weight. But some had a lot to lose, and they lost a lot. But the average was about 8 pounds. At the same time, this kind of diet is associated with bringing down your cholesterol and blood pressure. So along with getting rid of hot flashes and losing weight, you got a healthier heart. And the same kinds of diet, the same kind of diet is extremely low in the bad fat, the saturated fat that's linked to dementia. So we believe that this is a diet for all of those conditions that well up at menopause.
How about mood problems? What role do foods play in depression or anxiety?
You know, that was something that we stumbled into by accident. We were doing a research study with Geico Insurance, which wanted to test out a healthy vegan diet for their employees. And although we were targeting diabetes and weight problems, and of course a vegan diet turns out to be terrific for both, we noticed that depression lifted for many of the participants. And we rate depression using special questionnaires, and it improved substantially, as did anxiety and as did job absenteeism. People were able to work more. And so we started thinking, how is it that the diet can affect your mood? And I think there are two things. One is that these foods, vegetables and fruits and beans, have an anti-inflammatory effect, which means, okay, my joints are going to feel better, but inflammation affects the brain as well, and it could bring down mood. So an anti-inflammatory diet is good for the brain. But the second thing is it also makes your gut healthier. And a high-fiber, low-fat vegan diet allows the healthier bacteria to thrive in your digestive tract. That feeds back to your brain, and people feel better.
Dr. Barnard, a lot of people have thyroid problems. Can foods help them too?
We think so. I want to say a qualified yes on that. And the reason I say that is a huge research study called the Adventist Health Study 2 found that people following vegan diets had the lowest risk of either too low thyroid, that's hypothyroidism, or too high thyroid, that's hyperthyroidism. In other words, vegans did the best for both. And we think the reason is that animal products seem to trigger the release of antibodies that can damage the thyroid. Getting away from animal products is a good thing. And in addition, a lot of people have done this, and as I tell their stories in Your Body in Balance, they've gotten dramatically better by going on a vegan diet. That said, no one has yet done a randomized clinical trial to see how often do people who are hypothyroid, for example, how often are they able to get off their medicines. That we don't know a number for that yet.
Let's say a person wants to improve their diet. How would they begin?
I'll tell you, we have a way that we do it at Barnard Medical Center, which is the nonprofit clinic that we run here. And by the way, we offer telemedicine all around the country. If anybody wants to talk to a registered dietitian or a physician, we've got them. But the way that we start a vegan diet is we break it into two steps. And these two steps allow a person to make a really big diet change, but they make it easy. Step one is last 7 days. And for 7 days, you just make a list of foods that you would like to eat that are vegan, that have no animal products. So oatmeal with blueberries or cinnamon and raisins or sliced bananas or whatever, or a half a melon, or for sausage, try the vegan sausage. And then for lunch, could I have a pizza without cheese? For 7 days, you're going to write down the food possibilities and see which ones you like. After a week, you'll have a great list. So now, step two. Step two is to take 3 weeks and do it all vegan, all the time, for 3 weeks. But that's easy because, frankly, you could do anything for 3 weeks, but you've also already got your list and you've tried the foods out and you're stocked up. So at the end of those 3 weeks, people find that the time has flown by. They feel better than they felt in years. If they have diabetes, it's already starting to improve. If they have hot flashes, those are getting better. Their digestion is better. They're losing weight. And then you're going to think, all right, not only am I physically healthier, but your attitude about foods is adjusted, and you start to really love these foods that love you back. So we break it into those two steps, and that makes it really simple.
I love that. Loving the food and the food that loves you back.
Exactly. Well, people eat a lot of food that they love, but let me tell you, the Velveeta doesn't love you back. It's going to end up on your waistline, and you don't want that.
Yep. And what supplements do we need, if any?
Really, there's one that I think is essential, and that's B12. Vitamin B12 is important for healthy nerves, healthy blood, and it's a peculiar vitamin. It's not made by animals or plants. It's made by bacteria, and some people will speculate that before the advent of modern hygiene, the bacteria in the soil or on our hands or whatever would give us that tiny trace of B12 that we need. I don't think you can count on that these days. So every person following a vegan diet should definitely take B12. And frankly, that's good advice for everybody regardless of diet, because a lot of people are low. There are other supplements that people might consider, but B12 is really the only one that's critical.
Thank you, Dr. Neil Barnard. And when you speak with your medical colleagues about nutrition, are they surprised by what nutrition can do?
They are. You know, so many doctors grew up with the idea that, you know, a person bringing some more vegetables or fruits in their diet, nothing much is going to change. And they're right. But when you make a bigger diet change, the results are astounding. The idea that diabetes could go away, or that a woman with endometriosis might have that go away and she never needs the hysterectomy that you thought she would need, or that a couple that was dealing with infertility suddenly finds fertility coming back. All of these things are surprising to doctors, but so empowering to both doctors and their patients.
Yes, and I'd love to hear more about your great vegan chef who did the recipes for Your Body in Balance.
That's Lindsay S. Nixon. And Lindsay Nixon is the happy herbivore, meaning she's really done a brilliant job of pulling together her own series of recipes and nutritional advice for people. And I've been working with Lindsay on this, and she made recipes that are simple to make, quick to make, and familiar and really tasty. And there's one in particular. It's called an autumn chowder. I don't know if you ever made a recipe where you made a little extra. And so you had some for the next couple of days, and you take the leftover chowder out of the fridge and you heat it up, and it's better on the second day than it was on the first day. And then you have it on the third day, and it's even better. Somehow the spices and things are just coming together. This autumn chowder that she's made is like that, but she's got many others, perfect pancakes and breakfast crostini and Middle Eastern lentil soup to all kinds of wonderful desserts too. So I hope people will share the recipes they make with others who will then be able to see how easy and tasty it is to go vegan.
Yes, and I was happy to see that perfect pancakes is included in the recipes from Your Body in Balance.
Absolutely, and for all the people who thought they can never have a food with a carbohydrate in it anymore, knock yourself out. You can enjoy these healthy carbohydrates, but do leave the butter off.
Okay, and Dr. Barnard, we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Well, our website is pcrm.org, and I hope people will go there, try the recipes, try the information. And if you happen to pick up a copy of Your Body in Balance, I hope that people will do one thing, and that's to share the information with somebody else. There are so many people dealing with diabetes, menstrual pain, menopausal symptoms, a hormone-related cancer like breast cancer or prostate cancer. They need this information too. They may not know where to turn. So I'm asking people to help us get the word out far and wide.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for all the great work you do.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
We're listening to the music of vegan musician Joseph Peck in California. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, and I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. I'd like to give a special thanks to my guest, Dr. Neil Barnard, who joined us via Skype in Washington, D.C. Here's some very exciting vegan news from the East Coast of the USA. The Be Fair, Be Vegan billboard campaign. Be Fair, Be Vegan is a justice campaign. And they now have billboards all along I-95 in Connecticut. Be Fair, Be Vegan. Beautiful black and white portraits of many non-human animals with beautiful, powerful, important, compassionate, wise sayings on them. Really check it out, BeFairBeVegan.com. And next they'll be in Delaware, uplifting the consciousness of this planet. Let's go out with this great song by Vegan Queen V in London, England. This is Only One Life. This is Malene, host of Vegan Nation, wishing you a good day.